Father in heaven, we come again, ask you to bless this morning as we open this book. Lord, it's the precious word of God. And I thank you so much that you have preserved it for our day. May we never forget the voice of God we hear in the age of grace. Now, this time, on this side of Calvary, is through this precious book. Holy Spirit, help us as you live in us to understand what you inspired to write and to understand and for this day. And help us glorify the Lord Jesus and exalt Him, and in turn, please the Father. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, amen. Thank you very much. Take your Bible, if you will, and you can turn with me to Hebrews. I'm going to read some verses of Scripture pretty fast. And the reason for that, I told you a few weeks ago that I had been dealing a lot of study on adversities. And believe me, when you end them, you want to find all you can about them. And I'm glad to understand a lot of times that when I go to my Father, and by the way, when you go to your Father and we go to our Father, we have an audience with Him through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad to understand as a child I have a right when I'm hurting to go to Him. And I believe with all my heart you do like Paul, even if he's not afraid to go and complain about the thorn in the flesh until the Lord gives you some type of peace. Sometimes my grace is sufficient. Sometimes He talks to your eyes, looking more towards heaven. Sometimes you look to what He's already provided around us. In the next few weeks, I'm going to be looking at adversities. Now, in looking at verses, each one of these sermons will be titled A Certain Way of Approach. This is from the last number of months of being in the valley and looking for everything that I could, reading everything I could read, hearing everything I could hear, spending a lot of time and making notes and so forth to come up with this type of a message and messages, because ladies and gentlemen, let's face it, we're all in life filled with adversities. You're either in one or come out of one or going into one. And I've got news for you. As you get older, it's going to get more rapid. You're going to have things happening. I think about and prayed a number of times in the last number of months, especially within the last 12 months. I've had some things to happen in my life that set me aside, and I knew with God's help, would come back and came back. But I'll tell you, the last few months has been some of the hardest months and yet blessed months that my wife and I have ever had. And I thank God for this book, because this book has an answer. It's the voice of God, and it takes you to that. And over a period of time, God can give you a peace that you can't explain. You just know it's there. Is there any fear at times? You better believe there is. You heard me say before, and I won't get into that. But God can quickly overcome that fear when you come to the Word of God. Now, my message this morning, and I didn't even know till this past week as I studied this that I was going to bring this up, but the message I'm going to preach today is whose voice has your ear? Whose voice has your ear? And I wrote a book. The Clayton paper asked me back in 1997 to write an article for it. And I prayed about it, and I wrote this article on the voices of the past. And got a lot of comments on it, and I wanted to read the first paragraph that I put in this book. This was over 20 years ago, this past April, 20 years ago, I wrote this, and they printed it, and we put it in a booklet form, and I believe it goes in a package some to the people that come into the church when the time comes. But anyhow, if not, you can get this, but this is what I wrote. May I just read it to you? I started out the first paragraph. We live in a sensuous society. Americans are surrounded by illusion, deception, distortion, and misrepresentation. You find such in advertisement, entertainment, journalism. People are obsessed with touching, tasting, smelling, seeing, and hearing. Because we pride ourselves in knowledge and intelligence, we feel we have the right to decide what is real, what is artificial, what is true, what is false, and we do. But we are inclined to trust our good judgment due to what we feel our intelligence is capable of being rather than relying upon truth. And that truth, of course, goes on into the Scriptures about what we are facing today as the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us information. And so I want to look, first of all, Hebrews, and I'm going to quickly go for Hebrews chapter 1, 2, and 3. I'm somebody whose voice has your ear. It's very easy sometimes to hear somebody say, well, I've never heard God speaking to anybody. And then every once in a while, just like this past couple weeks ago, I heard this minister on television said, the Lord has told me to come by today and tell you this. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never had the Lord come to me and tell me to come and tell you something. But I've had God to tell me from this book, there's some things I need to know. And here's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, folks. In the age of grace, if God speaks to you, it'll be through this precious book. It'll be because the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit inspired this book, and you'll feel the inspiration. You may not be able to identify it, but it'll be there if you're a child of God. Now, the world does not have Jesus as their Savior. Don't know one thing about God's voice. I'm telling you. You have to know Jesus Christ as Savior. First of all, the first thing they hear when they hear God's voice in any form or fashion is the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God that comes from this word being presented to a lost soul about salvation. And then from there, we hear the voice of God by studying this book. So here we go back, though, in the Old Testament, Hebrews chapter 1. It says, God at sundries time in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And I believe that. In fact, we'll see something today if I get to it. Then I see, he says, hath he in the last days spoken us by his Son. Now notice, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the world. It's amazing. He spoke to us in these days, since Jesus' day today, by his Son. And notice, he said that they had his appointed heirs of all things, and by whom also he made the world. That is, by his Son, he made the world. And then he tells us, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sit down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So there was a time in times past through the prophets that God Almighty spoke through the prophets in the things that was needed from time to time. Sometimes he speak to a king like he did Solomon. Sometimes he speak like he did to David and others. But most of the time he spoke because of the prophets. Then you move over to John chapter 16 and verse 13, and you find that Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit of God. And it just amazes me because he said in verse 13, Jesus said, howbeit now, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Now, interesting. I told you a few weeks ago, I read an article where there's a religious group that said that the Holy Spirit was not a person, it was an it. It was a force. I've never seen a force yet that could speak, do you? And yet it says the Holy Spirit can speak. That means he has a vocabulary. That means that we can hear when he does that. By the way, he'd have to know how to speak if he's going to inspire someone how to write this book. Amen? Come on now, wake up on me. You may find something on that sheet. I'm praying, putting it in there. If you get a little shock, you know what it is. Amen? Hear what I'm saying. He said, and for he shall speak of himself, he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever shall, whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So I know this, and in the Old Testament he spoke by the prophets. I know that when Jesus was here, God spoke, and Jesus spoke as God to us, and he told us that he was sending the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit would come in Philippians chapter 4, 13, that I can do all things in Christ which strengthens me. And then I find that he tells me, as I get to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17, that God Almighty, Holy Spirit, inspired this work to be written, that we might hear the things of God and know what those things are, and they would do things for us as far as life is concerned. As I look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profit for doctrine. That means they're profit for teaching us. It's for profit for reproof. That means it's profit for convicting us. And it said, is it profit for correction? That means it's profit for changing us. So this book that's inspired is profit for not only teaching us, but also convicting us and changing our lives. And then he says, for instructions in righteousness, that means it is profit for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, like God told Peter in his writings. They need why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished for all good works. And then if you look at me in James, for the last verse quickly, if you look in James chapter 1, and verse 2 and 3, we see that James says this. He says in verse 2, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. In verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That's testing, troubles, trials, whatever you go through. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. But my brethren, count it all joy. Now, I've got to say to you, as far as the flesh is concerned, I have never, since 77 years old, soon be 78 years old, I have never counted joy for me to fall into trouble and trials. This flesh won't let me do that. By the way, it won't let you either. You say, oh yes, I have just peace of God. Then don't never go to another doctor. Don't never do it. Don't try to get anything to help us. No, we do have a problem about the flesh, and thank God, God gives us things we need to use in this life to help this flesh. But I want to tell you, there is a joy that you can't explain when you know God is where you ought to be, no matter what circumstance you're in. You can't explain it. It's unexplainable. It's a joy that God brings of being peace to a heart. It may not happen at the moment when the trial takes place at that moment, but you can have joy. This world knows nothing about it. There's nothing joy about the flesh hurting. There's nothing joy about you seeing someone got cancer and die within a few months or so. There's nothing joy in going somewhere or another and having to cut you wide open for something. There's nothing joy about that at all in the flesh. What is it then? God has said, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to tell you when you're long and no one else around, but you know God's there. There's a peace come on your heart you can't explain, but you know it's there. He lets you know if you're saved. If one's not saved, they have no feeling whatsoever except maybe what comes from the flesh. But God gives that joy. And so he tells us that we are to, again, count it all joy when we fall into all diverse temptations and so forth. So whose voice has your ear? In the midst of all of our electronic age, in the midst of our communication, instant information, instant entertainment, does anyone listen to God at all? I'm afraid there's a lot less because we have answers, even though we go through these things until it's too late. God has been speaking ever since creation. I just went through and showed you the places. In the Old Testament, he spoke through the prophets. In the New Testament, he spoke through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that today God speaks through the Holy Spirit according to what Jesus said about sinning. We know he came on the day of Pentecost, and we know that he's doing a work in us today. And then he also speaks through the Holy Spirit. And of course, so the issue is not whether God is speaking, but if we are listening. Are we listening? Sometimes he speaks quietly through his word, and when he's got our attention, it's a blessing. Sometimes when he speaks quietly through his word and doesn't have our attention, then watch out. There may come something in life to happen to get our attention so that he speaks and talk about the unspeakable gift at that time to us. I'm on 4 points quickly, whose voice has your ear heard. Number one, what are the primary reasons that some people do not listen to God? If you look and study history and also biblical history, you'll find ears are turned to what holds our hearts and our minds. If this world is our main focus, we are going to hear the message of this world rather than the message of God. If God holds a main focus, then we're going to go where the message of God is and try our best to counteract what the world has to say to us so we end the world but not of the world and let God speak to our heart through his precious word. If this world is our main focus, then we can understand that's what's going to be there. Here we take time to listen for his guidance and his instruction, but many people have never learned to discern God's voices of yet. Why? 1 Corinthians 2:14. That's a verse of scripture you ought to memorize because you can just about face anything in this life compared to man, what God is doing, that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolish unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So a person has to be born into the family of God to discern what God's going to do and what God is doing, and even if he's there in the peace that we can have in this life. So when I see what are the primary reasons that some people do not listen to God, it's simply because most of the time we may be focused so much in the world, that means that simply when we're focused in the world, then the things of God won't mean much until we come to a crisis and realize I need him. That means that a lot of times church don't mean much until it comes to a crisis and may need him. It could be a lot of people make decisions today because they're not listening to the quietness of God's word to help them move to do something for the Lord, but something disastrous sometimes have to happen. And by the way, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love us when that happens. It means he does love us, but he wants us to know he's not just there with us in prosperity, ladies and gentlemen. He's there with us when we're hurting. The second thing, what are some of the reasons that most people don't listen to God? They don't have a relationship with him. It's obvious of that. They're going to listen to gods, but they're not listening to the God of this Bible. Although everybody is called to salvation by God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, everyone does not receive his word to be saved. Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And he said, the reason that you don't listen to me in verse 26, in so many words, is because you're not my sheep. Go read it. It's honest. The fact is that people who are not know who Jesus is or who God is don't know the voice if they'd hear it, because the Holy Spirit reveals that to them and not they themselves. They cannot do that. So the message of the world drowns out God's voice, and most people are more concerned about the things of this world rather than what is going on in God's mind. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, hear me, in 1 John chapter 5, and I made that statement a few weeks ago, but it's so true in our day. Listen to this, please. In 1 John chapter 5, 9 through 13, if you read that, the Bible teaches us that God has a record. and only tells us what we need to do to be saved and also how to be saved in those verses. But do you know something? The record itself, this here, the record won't save you. The record tells us how we can be saved. That's the reason hid away in John 1:12. Jesus said that we must receive the gospel. To him that receives the gospel has been born into the family of God. So a lot of folks think because they have the record. And that's what John says in 1 John, the record. When you go over there and you see, he talks about Jesus Christ. He said, he that believes on the Son of God hath the witness in himself that he believed in God, had made him a liar because he believed not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It don't mean if you have the record, you'd have the record and die to go to hell. You've got to have the person of the record. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't hear that today. A lot of people can quote the scriptures. They never know who it is to have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder our hearts are burdened when it comes. They say, well, you think you know it. No, it isn't that we're trying to be smart. It's just the fact, listen to those voices speaking. When I read that, I understand why Jesus said that to men is receive him. To them gave he power to become sons of God in John chapter 1. Or what John said that about Jesus Christ in John chapter 1 verse 12. Why? Because you can have the record and read it all day long. Hey, you can read this Bible if you can read it in English and not even believe one thing about it. And if you believed about it, not receiving it into your heart, it don't mean you really believe it. Because it has to be activated in our heart. And so I see, since they have never heard his voice, they verbally, they do not believe that he'll speak to them. They fail to understand today that God speaks to us through his inspired word. It's called the Holy Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, we just don't believe the record. We receive the person of the record. You know who he is? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Passover, the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, John the Baptist cried out about Christ when he approached him there at the sea that time. When Christians are too busy to spend time with the Lord, their hearts will not be turned to his voice. And when he speaks to them, then some are afraid to hear, because he may ask them to do something they don't want particularly to do. It might interfere with their timetable as far as life is concerned. Then there's others that have a poor self-image, which caused them to doubt that God would even speak to them. They do not realize just how precious they are in God's eyes and how much he desires to communicate with them. Amazing, ladies and gentlemen. One thing I found in this scripture, God loves to communicate with his creation. Look at Adam and Eve. The only thing that separated God and Adam is their sin. And then before he could have good communication again with them, he had to do something for them so they would be where they could have a conversation with him. That's all Jesus has done for us in our age. So we could have a conversation with the true living God, that we know him as Savior and therefore become a child of God, joint heirs with Christ and born into the family of God, waiting for that day, the manifestation of God's children. And so we have to realize that to be born again, you have to have communication with God. Then sometimes people become angry with the Lord. Why? They do not understand that sometimes God allows hardships and God allows pain in lives. So in anger, they close their eyes to God's voice. Sometimes people ignore the scriptures, the word of God, and they increase worldly thinking while decreasing desire to hear from the Lord through his word. They're here through his word by the servant of the Lord, whether it be reading what is written here by a servant or someone who's trying to explain it. And it's so easy to not really understand the voice of God. Even in the Old Testament, if you'd go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, you'll see a conversation going on between Ahab and Elijah. Ahab sent for Elijah. And in this particular case, one place, but I want to show you another in Chronicles just a minute. But he said that in chapter 18, verse 16, said Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now what God had given Elijah prophecy about Ahab and what was going to happen. And Ahab was proclaiming that prophecy. And Ahab heard that. And now Ahab is turning around and said, you're troubling Israel. Isn't that the way they do Christians in our country? We stand for that which is right and holy and so forth. Next thing you know, something comes up and says, you bunch of Christians, just trouble all the time. You can't. That's what Ahab was said. And Elijah answered, he said in verse 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. You're the one that's troubling Israel. Now, I want you to look with me in 2 Chronicles. I'm going to quickly give a panorama of what's happening here. Jehoshaphat now has been asked by Ahab to come to fight as they have to fix to go to battle. And of course, you look in verse 3, and the king Ahab of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered, I am of thou art, and my people of thy people, and we will be with thee in war. And Jehoshaphat said, yes, so we're people, we're separated, north, south, I know that, 10 tribes to the north, 2 tribes that we are. But Ahab was actually king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat was king of Judah in Palestine. He said, but we're family. And they said, yes, I'll fight with you. But then Jehoshaphat said this in verse 4. He said, cry at the word of the Lord today. Therefore the king gathered together prophets, 400 men, and said, shall we go up? Now the king, Ahab, gathers his prophets, not God's. This happened. And he said, shall we go up to battle and so forth? And the prophets said, yes, God will deliver it into the king's hand. Then Jehoshaphat said, is there not another prophet of the Lord besides these that we might inquire? Now, he's got over 400. He said, is there anyone else, a prophet that's from the Lord? Now, watch this. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good unto me, but always evil. The name is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And the king's called again for his officers and said, fetch back Micaiah. And the king in verse 9 of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, set either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes. And he told my sister this morning, they were clothed in robes, looking so majestic and great. They sat in a void place waiting for the prophet to come. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenaiah, had made him horns of horns and said, thus saith the Lord, when these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. In others, Zechariah said, listen, and this was one of the main ones of Ahab. He said, I made these horns for you here, and this is a sign that God's going to push these shears right in their place. And notice, and all the prophets have prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hands of the king. And then look, in the messenger, they went to Micaiah, spake to him. Behold, the words of the prophet declaring to the king, one assent. They all agree, all 400 plus of them. Let the words thereof, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak their good, thou good. Micaiah said, well, look in verse 13, what my God said, that will I speak. He just said, hey, I'm going to speak what God gives my mind to speak. Now, I want you to watch carefully here, because it can be misleading, but God gives us an answer. So, and when he was coming, verse 14, he was to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go up to the battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, now Micaiah said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hands. Isn't that puzzling? Micaiah said the same thing that the 400 prophets have said. Isn't that strange? Watch. Watch what King Ahaz does. And the king said to him, how many times have I adjured you that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? What are you doing telling me that I'm going to win this battle? 400 others already said it. Why would Micaiah say that at this time? He might have been playing with him. I don't know. Sometimes I guess prophets have a little fun, but on the other hand, he explains it. And he said, I did see all Israel. You want to know? I did see Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep. They have no shepherd. The Lord said, they have no master. Let them return, therefore, the man to his own house. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell ye that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? You know, Ahab wasn't going to listen to whatever he said. He said the same thing as 400 prophets said, and you just trouble me all the time. You don't believe. And then he turns around and agrees with him, and he said, Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you? He told me what God was going to do. And he said, didn't I tell you, this guy never says anything good about me. By the way, I got news for you. This world is not going to seem good, anything good about you if you love the Lord, I tell you that. Either saved and understand, if not, you'd be religious and get along. But brother, this thing of loving God and being what God wants us to be puts us on a narrow path. And this world doesn't know anything about that in our past. Then notice verse 18. He tells us now we get an understanding of what happened. He said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne and all the host of heaven standing at his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Mount? See, God has said, I'm going to let him fall at Mount Ramah-Gilead. And one spake, saying after the other, and they're saying different things. And then came out our spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord will say to him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out. And the Lord said, wherewith? How, I guess you'd say. And the Spirit said, I will go out and be a lion spirit in his mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord had put a lion spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Lord had spoken evil against thee. Then Zedekiah, the son of Kenai, he said, came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Talking about him slapping him. And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber and hide thyself. 25, the king said, take Micaiah, carry him back to Anna and govern the city. And Joash the son, and he said, put the fellow in prison. Feed him with bread and affliction with water and affliction until I return in peace. As if he's saying, Micaiah, listen, son, you don't have nothing on me. You're nothing but a troublemaker to me. Therefore, I'll show you what I can do and put him in prison. And then we see, he said, the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, in verse 27, Micaiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, he's talking to Ahab, then hath not the Lord spoken to me, and he has hearkened all ye people. He said, if it don't happen like I say, and he turns in peace, then you know the Lord hadn't spoke to me. That's all he did. And what happens? You see it comes up. If you look in the latter part of that verse 34, it says, and the battle increased on that day about the king of Israel stayed himself up in the chariot. He'd been wounded against the Syrians until the evening. And about time, the sun going down, he died. I'm telling you, Satan has a lot of things to try to throw us off course. But if you stick with the scriptures and stick what we have today and ask God to help us, ladies and gentlemen, you can be sure that God may see us treated like filth, he said. But know this, he's there with us. And sometimes when we're in our worst conditions in this life physically, and we will be if we live long enough. This body's dying. You know that? This body's dying. It may show up in many ways before the final death comes. But I'm glad there's always there. I don't have a hold of his hand. If I had, I might let him loose. He's got a hold of my hand. And so does yours, if you know him as your personal Savior. And so some are so deceived by the sound of this old world that they have no interest in hearing what God has to say at all. Here sin harbors in one's life will block their spiritual ears. And sometimes here is where God lets tragedy come to get our attention. He speaks and hears the calmness of his word. Or if some reason the focus is somewhere else, he'll get our attention. Now, number three, how can we identify God's voice? Let's try to listen for God's voice. How we identify his voice with so many voices? God's voice, ladies and gentlemen, hear me. God's voice to our heart must always match God's word. In the age of grace. You say, preacher, that's just too much. I know people have done it. Fine, go ahead. I know enough about this to know if I'm going to learn anything about God, I can't be lazy. It's going to come from this precious book. Why would he allow the Holy Spirit to inspire it and then preserve it and let us have it in our age, in our time, like he would have it in the English language? And I say to you, some are afraid to hear because they may ask them to do something that they don't particularly want to do. On the other hand, there will be a distinct difference between our minds and God's word spoken on the printed page. God's word will conflict with human nature, and it seems to require of us something that seems beyond our ability. It's impossible, Lord, I can't do this so long. Lord, in tears, or you may wet your pillow with tears, the Bible says, and find out that you seem like you're by yourself, but then you come to the point later that God will puff up the pillars and in turn comfort your heart, and you know he's there. You know when he comes it's him, because before you didn't know it, but now there's something different. You know he's giving you something that only God can give you, but you got to be in that situation to get it. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't think God cares any less for us just because we're having problems than he did when we don't have them. No, he loves us just as much. He never ceases to love us, and thank God for that. As we see, God's word will conflict with human nature all the time. Listen to me, God will never lead us to an activity into a relationship that contradicts God's holy word. God's word will always clash with fleshly ideas. Our flesh must never dominate God's word. God's word must dominate this flesh as he filtrates the Holy Spirit into our heart and mind to understand what God wants us to be and to do in this life. This is what you say to help us to grow in grace and knowledge. God, sometimes he calls us to face our fears and trust him in that. I know this, that God is able to deliver us, ladies, in anything we face. But I know this, that he can also go with us through some things. And I've got this, I want to tell you something. I don't care where you're at in this life. He's already said, I'll never in the age of grace through Jesus Christ, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that means simply this, wherever we're at, in the fiery furnace or wherever it's at, he's always there. You think those Hebrew children had something blessing when God was in the fire furnace with them? Yes, they did. You say, well, how did that fit me? He said he'd never leave you forsaken. So that means simply you're not going to go anything. He's not in there with you. Thank you, Brother Ennis. Praise God. I needed that. Nobody else did. Amen. Because I believe with all my heart, God's word speaks to our heart, sometimes louder when we face things because we see how much we need him. Sometimes when the bills are paid and things are going well, we say, thank you, Lord, that's about it. But we don't really see how much we need him. You get in the valley when nothing can help you that man's got, then you'll see you need God. Not only just as Savior, but as a deliverer in life. And so sometimes the Lord speaks to us and loves us so much that he speaks out of our heart quietly or unexpectedly in the normal course of a day. And when he speaks quietly, he has our attention. That's good. It's got to just reveal. But when he speaks loudly sometimes, there's something that sidetracked us and got us off the focus of what had happened. And that something will get our attention. I want to tell you something. As a child of God, there may have been many times that the Lord may have spoke to me silently and I didn't get, he didn't have his attention. But I've never had a pain that he didn't get my attention. I don't care if it's a toothache. I don't care what it is. I never had a pain that God didn't get my attention for that pain. Whatever the reason was, I have no idea. But I'll tell you this. When I realize something happens to this body that's not normal, he's got my attention. You say, well, he's got mine too, all the time. Well, I'm afraid that if you be honest, look in the mirror of God's word, there's times our focus is not on God like it should be. Folks, I'm honest. You see, I live in a real world, not some fictitious religious world. I believe this book is actually the answer to everything because this is God's holy word. I believe God himself would speak only what's in this book if he was here in the midst of us. Because if he had anything else other than what he wants to know, he'd have it in this book. And I thank God for that. So why do we listen to the word of the Lord? Well, because in Titus chapter 1, verse 2 said God cannot lie. So here God guides us and provides us for what we need. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. 19, my God shall supply your needs as according to his riches in glory. So he guides us to make good godly decisions. He guides us to encourage us. He guides us to comfort us. He guides us to strengthen us to do God's will in our life. Here, adversities help us reevaluate our life. Ladies and gentlemen, be honest. Since you look in the mirror of God's word, you'll never face anything in this life that will not cause you, if it's adversity of any kind, that will cause you to reevaluate your life. And the word of God become very important to relieve the pressure that might be there. He also guides us to know the Father's will. Here one must stop talking and start listening to hear God's voice from his written word. How do I know that? You remember the verse we connect together? See, all these verses you hear at times connect together always somewhere or another. In James chapter 1, verse 19, when James said we ought to be swift to hear, silent to speak, slow to wrath. You remember that a few weeks ago? And then he said in verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I mean, God always does what is best when we need his instruction. And here is the only way to silence doubt, and that is to listen to his holy word. Now, when we follow the Lord's guidance and make good choices, he protects us from relationships and activities. But if we do not listen to God and make good choices, the world would draw us away from him at that time. Because if we're not listening, we're not listening to the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Notice I say we. I guess I have as much as that as anybody. If I'm not listening like I should, then Anything the world has would draw me away from that. But if I'm listening, God will check things. And He will, and I'm sure many of you can see the things changing in your life. And when we follow the guidance, we make good choices. If we don't listen to God, we make bad choices and do something sometimes that's not pleasing. So the world draws us away from Him. Other voices will easily deceive us. We will make decisions based on human reasoning rather than divine guidance. How is that? Because if I am being fed intellectually for nothing in this world but human reason, that's all I have to go on. That's the reason they must have this. Thank you. That's the reason that you and I come to the house of God, hopefully. I would not be anywhere unless I knew the Word of God was being taught. Because that's what this is about. This is not come here just to have a good time, but thank God we can have a good time. This has come to refuel us to go back in that world. Why? That's where the evil's at. And that's where we have defeated in our lives, you see. So our decisions based on human reason rather than divine guidance a lot of times, and our decision could cause us to forfeit God's best and all that He wants us to have here than to make choices that would appeal to the flesh. He wants us to have His best, but a lot of times that's not to make choices that appeal to the flesh. There are eternal consequences for those who ignore God's voice and refuse to allow God to lead them. Galatians 6 teaches certainly that. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. You know, that's just as clear as thou shalt not kill or commit adultery. It's a command of God found in the New Testament. So walking with God on a daily basis is the only way to reap the greatest harvest in this life for the glory of God and receive eternal rewards in the hereafter. So a versus is in life. When they come, not if they come, because they're going to come. Be different kinds. Hopefully the next few weeks we see some and look at some. James teaches us, count it all joy. In verse 6 he said, but let them ask in faith. When you ask God, let it be in faith. I don't demand God anything. Man alive, I'm not His author. He's my author. And I find this out. When these things come, whose voice has my ear? Because it makes a difference. Whose voice? I hear a lot of things. And during a week's time, you hear a lot of things. And I'll tell you this. If you let all the electronic stuff you got today listen to, you hear a lot more than our granddads did years ago. And most of it is bad. Even that which will lead us to something that's good to help us in life, you'll see a lot of bad things in it. Because the world has learned how to intrigue and put stuff in where you're looking something to study sincerely. All of a sudden, you have a flash of something because everybody's trying to make a dollar. And a lot of this stuff is free. And you say, why in the world? What's that on there for? How many is that? That's another thing that really gets me about computers. You say, man alive, all this information there, but someone's paying for it. And then once in a while, you see it by something flagged on that computer. So I'm saying to you, whose voice has our ear? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this first subject on adversities. We're not immune to sickness. We're not immune to problems because we're saved. But in 1 John 5, we have victory over these things because of who we are in Jesus Christ. I thank you for that. You're not eliminating us from going into these things, but you said we could have victory in these things. And Lord, we know this. Even saints of God of old told us the greatest victory of all is when we move from this life to be in the portals of where our Savior's at, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And as we get older, we see how quick that could be. Lord, let's thank the Lord for these that are here this morning in the other churches, listening to my radio in a few minutes on the youth stream. Every last one of us is just one heartbeat from eternity. Just one heartbeat. That's how quick we could be in the very presence of God or outside of Jesus Christ in a place that part of spirits go with this fire, and one day that'll be delivered into the lake of fire. But Lord, I want to thank you so much. Please help me, Father. We've got a few things I've got to look at in the next few weeks, and I just put them in your hands. Lord, it seemed like, as Byron and I was talking, we have been as high as 3 doctors in 1 week, both of us, of different things that's happened. And I thank you for having doctors. But the greatest physician we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, I pray, please help me, Holy Spirit, and help me minimize who Jesus is and exalt someone else in this flesh. Thank God people has the ability to do things and diagnose and observe and interpret. Thank God they can do that. But Lord, I know this one thought, things can be changed from the worst in the world to the best in the world. Our God has that power, and I thank you for that. Whatever the situation is, I'm glad you said you never leave us, forsake us. Father, I know at times we don't know everything we need to know, but I'm thankful to know that you undergird us with the grace of God. Lord, I think again, as I've said so many times years ago as a young kid, with mumps and whooping cough and all kinds of different things we had, measles, chicken pops. Lord, I can remember that how comfort it was to have mother and dad around, someone to come and complain to and cry and curl up in their arms and say, and they'd say it's going to be all right. They're gone now. Many of us in here face the same thing. But we're glad we have a heavenly Father that cares more for than our earthly father did. We have one who said he never leaves forsake us. That means there's not a moment of time that we face in anything in this life that you don't know about, and you're able to handle it, and you're able to help us handle it. Thank you for the time that we have together in this life. Forgive us for times we may have not been as close as we should, but thank you for those times we've been as close as we could get. Thank you we can hear the voice of God in the quietness of the hour, studying in our study here at home, that sometimes when voice of God is a little louder to get my attention, I run right back to the same place, to the Father, and know he hears my cry. Lord, it's one thing is pray, our Father, which are in heaven as a church. It's another thing as individuals to come to you as a child. As a father in this life cares for all his family, young daughter, young man, a young boy, there's times when one comes and has a need, they are special at that moment. And though our Father himself has all of those who know Christ as Savior, as his children, each time of us has a special individual need. You're not so busy with the rest that you don't have time to come to our rescue. And let us know when the time is right, everything's all right in the house of God. And I thank you for that blessedness that you give us, the peace of God. That's all it is, a peace of God that brings us understanding that you don't get no other way. Know you're there. One day, when we draw the last breath, they'll just be moving from this place to where you're at. And Jesus is in the direction waiting to take our hand. As I can see in my mind, spiritually, and move us from this body into the place where we'll be with the Lord forever until we get our glorified body and then see things we've never seen throughout eternity. What a blessing, Lord. What a peace. And thank you, know you're there. Lord, help someone see, though without Christ, they may think we're off our mind, out of our mind, so religious in other people and can't get. Lord, let us see, without Christ, they have no avenue to the God of this universe, nor to the family of God. It doesn't mean that we're better than anyone else. It just means that we have believed the record, not only read it and believed it, but received the person of the record as our personal Savior. Help someone do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.